Anyway, solar panels, Mike.
Yeah, I've written a book recently on solar electricity, and it's been quite a hit so far, which is quite exciting. I've been involved with one or two interesting solar projects in the past, and I'm looking at lots of interesting stuff in the future. And so I thought, yeah, let's write a book on it and share some experiences. One or two bits of controversy in there, like I question the environmental benefits of a grid-tied solar system where you put solar panels on the roof of your house and then connect it to your national grid. I argue that in many cases that actually doesn't make any benefits whatsoever. And then looking at things like using solar power to run electric cars and electric bikes and electric boats and various other things and the benefits and problems you have with them.
I mean, that's quite a controversial thing to say, but
it is
that solar to grid is not worth it. Is that because of the efficiency, the losses, or what?
It's not that. It's the way the national grids work. If you're in the southern states of America, you can ignore this because they're actually slightly different there. But in the northern states of America, in most of Canada, and certainly in the UK, the peak requirement for electricity is in the evening, and it's basically when the people get home from work, they come home, they put the oven on to cook their dinners, they turn the television on, they turn on the computers, all that sort of stuff, and demand for power goes up dramatically compared to what it is during the day, and
agreed.
The national grid is really struggling to cope. Now, if you've got a grid-tied solar system, then you're actually generating electricity during the day. You know, midday is best, but by about sort of 6-7 o'clock in the evening, you're not generating a huge amount of power. What you find is that at that time you're starting to demand power yourself off the national grid. What you've done is provided lots of electrical power when the national grid's got so much power left over, it's switching power stations to standby, so they're still generating all their CO2 emissions, but they're not generating any power. So you don't actually resolve the problem.
So what is the solution? Is the solution to have a DC battery bank and charge up a battery bank at your house?
Well, if you're running a house on solar power, then yeah, run it from your own supply, charge it with batteries during the day and then use that in the evening is a far more environmentally friendly way of doing it because you're then contributing towards solving that problem. You know, you're getting over the problem with peak power. The real benefits of solar come on much smaller projects, not on necessarily running a house, where you need a relatively small amount of power. For instance, if you've got a shed in the back garden, you can't get electricity to it, or it's going to cost money to get armoured cable down the garden and all that sort of stuff. A solar panel, just so you can run a few electric tools and put some lights on, fantastic way of doing it, works out cheaper. I've been looking recently about using a solar panel on the roof of an electric car, not to charge up the battery, because, quite frankly, the amount of power you get from a solar panel to charge a battery, you get maybe 2 or 3 miles range in the summer and maybe 100 yards in the winter.
Mm.
But to warm up the batteries, if you can warm up the batteries using solar power, then you can double the range of an electric car in the winter.
You see, what I was thinking for use of a solar panel, I'm never convinced. I mean, I know that some of our listeners, Daryl, Dickie, okay, he lives in California. So he has solar panels on his roof and he can use those to charge his car. I think he has a stored solution as well. When you put a solar panel on the roof of a car, you are creating drag, are you not? You're adding extra weight. Are we talking very lightweight cells here or...?
Not necessarily. I mean, most of the weight in a solar panel is actually the frame, and the thickness of the frame obviously will make a difference to the aerodynamic drag. Mm-hmm. There's no reason why you can't actually mount it onto a roof, and the difference in the thickness of the roof will be 1/8 of an inch. If you do that, then there's not going to be any real trouble with drag. There's not going to be any real trouble with weight. But if you want to put a big frame around it and everything else, then yeah, you're adding a couple of inches to the height of the vehicle, and you're going to have to take into account weight and drag and all that sort of stuff and work around it.
Right. Quick question for you. You said you were looking at using solar to heat the batteries. You wouldn't even necessarily need a photovoltaic cell for that, would you?
That's right. You could either do it with solar water or solar voltaic. I mean, the reason for going photovoltaic is that you have a battery belt, a heating belt around the batteries. And if the batteries are below a certain temperature, you use the energy from the solar panel to heat up the batteries.
Right.
And if the batteries are above a certain temperature, then you use the solar panel to charge the batteries. So you get the best of both worlds. So in the summer, or if you're in a southern state in America, then you've got the extra range, you know, from having the solar panel charging up the batteries, you know, 2, 3, 4 miles a day, which is great. You know, not to be sneezed at. And in the if it gets colder, then you're maintaining the temperature of the batteries. And the benefit of that is you don't get the premature battery failures if you're keeping your batteries warm, as well as getting the extra range as well. So instead of getting sort of 20 miles on a G-Wiz, you'll get 35 miles on a G-Wiz just because the batteries are warmer. That's a significant improvement.